This is After the Credits, the home of correct movie opinions since 2007.
Yeah.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 335 of After the Credits. I am one of your co-hosts, Maureen Antunes, joined today by fellow co-hosts.
Steve Sibbing, now with 25% less tariffs.
And Bill Harris, not Melissa McDowell.
No.
Melissa isn't with us today. She was on holidays and her flight was delayed.
That's what we had to pay for my 25% less tariffs.
Oh,
we had to pay Melissa for this episode. We had to.
We're going through a giant snowstorm right now, and Melissa was in Mexico.
Yeah. Well, so technically she's an import right now. So she has to wait in the quarantine.
Yeah.
Until next time.
I hope she brought me back that tequila I wanted.
This is a straight rock of mezcal.
Yeah.
just to take a big bite out of it and just go nuts.
Oh, we're already so far off track.
Did anybody get any feedback on the top 10 show?
I haven't seen anything.
No.
It's amazing because everybody's like, Bill, your list is incredible. It's just the best.
Oh, shit.
Nobody is better. It's like,
wow.
I'm like, Zing. I know. It's hard being this good.
What do we expect from the king of Canadian cinema?
Hell yeah, with no Canadian films on its list. But
exactly.
Next year.
The feeling was there.
It was.
The feeling was there. Hey, I just learned in my preparation for my other show I just learned that The Order is a Canadian film. I don't know if you brought that up when you talked about it.
I did. Maybe not when I put it on my list, but yeah, definitely when I talked about it, I'm pretty sure I mentioned it.
Okay, because I was like, what? I was kind of like flabbergasted because Kurzel seems like a man with no home, because all of his films seem to come from different places.
Well, I guess it depends on where he gets the money, right? And funny story, that movie is technically BC produced because one of the producers is from Burnaby.
Oh, nice.
Arcana Studios. I have all the insights, man. I actually don't. I just happen to know Sean over there. And I saw the studio name come up and I'm like, since when did Sean get into live action? Because he's been very like much as an animation guy for like a decade. So, yeah.
I'll talk more about that one later. But
we don't actually have a movie of the week. Well, we did. I haven't seen it. I completely forgot what it was. I've been too busy and I haven't managed to see much of anything, to be totally honest. My list is going to be very sparse for this week. Do you guys want to talk about it? Or do you want to, you should at least make mention.
I can bring it up like in my run of what I've seen.
I've already technically talked about it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I feel like maybe slightly, I don't want to disappoint Bill.
That's
especially
fine.
When he's championing a Canadian film. Like,
I already saw your show, man. I already saw your show.
So you saw me name drop you.
I did. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
I even cut to me saying it. I cut out of the trailer for me to say it to the camera.
Well, thanks for spreading the word about me being the king of Canadian film.
I love it. I am your champion, sir. I will call it from mountaintops, all right?
Oh, my God. This is funny because for years Bill was the guy that didn't watch any Canadian film.
This is exactly why I'm doing this. This is Bill's patriotic redemption.
This is not a bit, friends. I am in. I am in.
Yes. Yes. Oh, sometimes I wish we were a visual podcast because that was a celebratory moment right there.
Also, before we start, I got my VIF Airbnb today. $1,500.
Wow. Where? Yeah. Where?
Same place I got last year. I liked it. Okay. So I'm like, okay, I'll do it again. $1,500.
Was that how much it was last year?
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. VIF is not cheap for me, friends.
No, it's not. I got the mom who I can just crash at her place.
I used to. Then she moved.
Oh, fuck.
I know.
Did you tell her you're really inconveniencing me?
I kind of did, actually.
I'm like, I want you to think about me.
I'm like, I like to go to concerts and stay at your house. What is your problem?
Yeah, you are making my life not convenient, and I am upset.
But yeah, looks like I'm going to VIF again, friends.
Fuck yeah. Well, team, what the hell should I watch? Me and Chloe will be there again as well, so.
And nice. I think I probably will have a little bit more time to participate this year as well. So,
yeah.
Good maybe stuff. We'll actually do a podcast all together.
On in the same room. That'd be really cool.
That'd be weird. Yeah.
Listen, I'll be happy if I can watch more than 15 movies. So, you know.
Yeah. Look.
There's that too.
It's all about the little goals. You know what I mean?
That's right.
It's all about the little ones.
15 movies. I like to used to say at VIF, 2 days at VIF.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Now it's like 3 or 4 days of VIF.
Yeah, but still, it's true.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, we're already derailed as much as it is. Let's call it what it is right now. Like, really, it feels like once you get over that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, maybe Tuesday, you're sparse to the weekend.
The final weekend wasn't bad this year.
No, I miss it every year, unfortunately. But now one of them I did manage to catch up with on this list that I'm going to go through here. But yeah, it was bangers. I mean, I'm clearly glad I didn't do the Emilia Perez thing. But to watch Saturday Night, I would have been so all over that because God, that movie's fun. And to experience with a VIF audience would have been immensely fun because, yeah, they laugh during inappropriate things. But when it's actually a comedy, there's no better crowd to be than in a VIF crowd because you're going to get your reactions.
Yeah, it was good. That Anora screening was really good.
That Anora screening was great. Yeah, because we just did the vote for the Vancouver Film Critics Circle. So that's coming out on the 26th, 25th, something like that. Or no, I think we can really reveal it on the 19th, I think. But reminiscing about Anora, I just kept the church scene and just him looking at his phone. Oh, no.
That is the scene that always sticks out when I watch that movie. It's the one that I'm always like, the scene is coming up.
Died. I almost died in that scene. It's so funny. So funny. Yeah. But I don't think it's going to get the Oscar love that we want it to.
Well, so Steve brought it up. So maybe the producers of Emilia Perez should have vetted their actors a little better.
Holy fuck. Just what a thought. What a fucking disaster.
What a mess. Like,
disaster.
You just, you know, not only killed your nomination, but you killed the film.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was like egregious already with 13 nominations. Like,
yeah.
It's like, holy shit, guys. Can we calm the fuck down? Like 13 nominations? Holy shit. But yeah, I really feel like they didn't just shoot themselves in the feet, but they blew their legs off. They're fucking bleeding out. I don't think they have much of a chance now.
Like, does Zoe Saldana win now?
I don't think so.
As I've said before on other podcasts, I hope not.
Can we switch Willow Fitzgerald in and let her try to win?
Nobody saw Strange Darling, though, even though it just did really fucking well at the Saturn Awards. Nobody in that pool saw Strange Darling, sadly.
Yeah, sucks.
Yeah, audibly shaking my head.
Oh, the video. You guys miss out.
Do I need to start making clips from the video?
Yeah, we can be TikTok famous, Marina. Famous.
Except I don't use TikTok. I'm going to seriously delete all of my social media. I'm waiting for Blue Sky to release their video app so I can dump Instagram and then I'm good to go.
If they're all losing their luster rapidly every day. So
yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
they really are.
I feel like I finally have the algorithm down on my Instagram. Like, it's finally feeding me things that I want to see. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to delete it because fuck. Throw it all out the window.
Fuck Meta.
No kidding. Yep. No kidding. I did go through and change all of my ad settings today. I saw somebody post like, this is how you change all your ad settings so they can't track you. That's done. So good luck selling me shit that I want. And since we're off kilter, I will just also mention, did you guys see that Gojira won a Grammy yesterday for best performance?
Fuck yes.
I had the best time watching that.
I didn't see it happen, but do you know how I found out about it? Through a disappointment post about Spirit Box.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, who won though? Oh, okay, I'm cool with that. Don't be mad that you lost to Gojira.
Yeah.
At the Olympics.
Like, come on.
I know. Great moment. Great moment. I didn't watch the show, but I saw that clip.
No, neither did I. It was streaming apparently on Paramount Plus, but only in the States. If you were in Canada, you have to watch it on, like, I don't have cable, so I'd have to watch it on the CTV app through Prime. But it costs you $8, and I already used my free trial on the Golden Globes. So
do you know anybody who's got cable?
Probably. Yeah, I guess you do. Maybe.
So if you do,
I do. I do. She's raising her hand, which is on video.
So you can use Marina's login to Telus or Shaw and download the app and use that. Because I do that with my mom's stuff. So I
guess. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah, that's awesome. Fair. Okay.
Our household is old, so you know we need cable.
I don't have to worry about the Screen Guild Awards because that's on Netflix.
Yeah. The Screen Actors. Yeah.
Screen Actors Guild Awards. And then I think the Oscars is going to be on Disney Plus.
They were last year, I think.
Weird.
I don't know.
I'll watch it on CTV.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I think it might be streamable. Fingers crossed. Or I'll be texting Marina to get it going. should I roll off this list?
Let's do it. We're already like 20 minutes in. Might as well.
Some of these are just gonna be quick. Good Burger 2. It's just dumb enough that I enjoy it with enough stupid cameos and stupid moments. I love Kel Mitchell. I really, really, really love Kel Mitchell. And as Ed, he's just timeless. He really is timeless. But it's stupid as fuck. Like, just no, there's no denying that. Did I talk about Back in Action on the last episode?
No.
The return of Cameron Diaz after 11 year, or I mean, I like her and Jamie Foxx. So that's where this movie just succeeds enough to be entertaining, but it's not good at all by any stretch of the imagination. It's quite corny. And it's by like, hey, this guy brings out a good movie every now and then, but otherwise he's a studio director, Seth Gordon. Just like every like fifth movie is like, hey, that was actually pretty good. But then like everything else is just like, you're just the guy we need behind the camera to just say action and cut, pretty much. What a horrible, horrible, sad letdown Wolfman was. Just,
I completely agree.
I mean, Christopher Abbott and Julia Garner, albeit playing a couple that are going through a rough patch in their marriage, but I'm having a hard time understanding where their chemistry lied in the beginning first place at all. Because they have like the opposite of chemistry. It's terrible. It's really, really bad. And I really don't know what happened with Lee and his wife, Corbett Tuck's writing. I have no idea what happened between Invisible Man and this film. And to even call this film Wolfman is more like dude that gets sick, kind of turns into this weird, like carnivorous beast thing. That's not really.
It was almost like they were trying to go for like a Fly kind of thing.
Yeah, it was Seth Brundlewolf.
But it's called Wolfman.
Yeah.
Bit of a mistake.
At one point, he starts gnawing on himself. And I'm like, what is happening in this film?
I love how Julia Garner's character was so unlikable that even her kid doesn't like her. And she's like, I don't think my kid likes me. I'm like, because she doesn't like you. You suck.
Because you literally are the shittiest person on screen at all times in this movie.
And like Christopher Abbott has like zero charisma in this film, which is weird because it's Christopher Abbott.
He's a vacuum of charisma. He's going to, you know what? Okay. So this is also coming off Kraven the Hunter, where he is also a vacuum of charisma in that film, like completely awful. After we're done this podcast, I'm pivoting to watching a film called Bring Them Down.
Oh yeah, I have that in the upcoming.
Yeah, it's Barry Keoghan and Christopher Abbott, and I'm hoping for big things. Movies releasing it.
Well, that's usually a good sign.
So yeah, come on, can you bring me back Christopher Abbott? Like, I don't want to watch James White again. But if you're gonna force me to, I might have to remember the good times.
He's generally so great. That's so disappointing.
Yeah, I don't. This the Hollywood route of Christopher Abbott has not been good, because he was the other Hollywood one he did was like, I want to say like 8 years ago now, the Tina Fey Middle East movie, the one where she's the war journalist. He's in that too.
I don't remember the name of that one either for some reason.
Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. That's what it was called.
Margot Robbie was in it. Yeah.
Christopher Abbott was also in that too. Christopher Abbott actually plays an Arabic character. I want to say he's one of the interpreters, I want to say, in that film, which is weird, right? There'd definitely be anger about that right now.
Another film where Tina Fey tried to tell me she wasn't good looking. Guess what? She is.
Yeah, she is.
I have a soft spot for Sisters, so
I agree.
Her and Polar. I have a soft spot for that and Baby Mama.
She's generally really good. I like her and stuff. Okay, but wait, are the practical effects good?
No. I just didn't care. I really didn't care. I probably cared more about the Strangers Chapter 2 trailer that played before it, and I didn't even really care about that. So
I thought that had come out already.
No, there's just Chapter 1. Rennie Harlan is stretching out the torture of his audience. Yeah.
The bad thing is that Melissa's not here, and she gave it a positive review on Letterboxd, I think.
For Wolfman?
I think so. I think she gave like 3.5 stars.
What? I'm creeping now. I'm creeping now. No, I don't see one from her.
Well, she doesn't rate her movies, right? So you'd have to read the thing.
I don't see a review from her, so.
Oh,
I thought she saw Wolfman. I saw somebody
I follow gave it a 3 that I haven't read the review yet, and I'm a little perplexed. I'm a little perplexed right now.
I was wrong. She doesn't star rate it because she doesn't star rate. But yeah. I could have swore I saw her
like that.
But hey, whatever.
I don't know. It's just I was heading in for a Lee Whannell movie and I didn't get one.
Oh, nope.
This did not feel like him. Like, it really did not. There wasn't even like cool. I thought that was very bland in how it looked too. So
yeah, and there's so many stupid subplots in this film.
Oh, so much.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh yeah. So bad. Wallace and Gromit, goddamn fun. I mean, how do you expect any less from Wallace and Gromit and Nick Park? I adore him. I absolutely adore Nick Park.
Can I plug the first episode of the Sparkcast for the season, which we just dropped, where I talked to Nick Park for like an hour, and it's pretty awesome. Yeah.
That is you're lucky. I love that. I love that man.
Talks a little bit about his early career, like pre-making Wallace and Gromit, where he was making horror movies with his family. It's pretty awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah, there's some great stuff on YouTube, like old Nick Park stuff. It's pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, besides the Village of the Damned stuff that you already brought up previously, there's a lot of so many great nods in this film that I just think are so brilliant and so well pulled off, and absolutely loved it. I don't know if I'm going to get what the fucks from this. I really like Night Bitch. Like, I really liked it.
What the fuck, Steve?
I liked it till the end. I thought the end just ran out of steam and didn't know what the movie it wanted to be.
Kinda. I don't know. I just felt like the mom plight so like viscerally told. And Scoot McNairy is so like frustrating in parts. Like, so there's that one dinner table discussion, you're just like, holy fuck, dude, you're just like, every word that you shouldn't say, you're just saying, man.
His character is really well written, though. Like, he is the most annoying fucking husband ever.
It's really funny because he is in a two-picture thing of husbands harboring shit that they should never say out loud.
Yes.
Because between that and Speak No Evil, I was like, you're leaning into that right now, aren't you, Scoot? But yeah, I don't know. I really dug it. And the child actor hugs this line between being really precocious and the biggest fucking terror I've ever seen. And it's so fitting for this movie. It just kind of, I don't know, this movie really worked for me. And holy fuck, hard truths. Mike Lee just knows how to write. Because, yes, Marianne Jean-Baptiste is horrible, awful, but you know people like that exist in this world. There are the at all times cantankerous, venomous viper people. And Mike Lee knows the human experience and can project it onto a screenplay and a film so well that it boggles the mind. It really does. Hard Truths. It's a hard 4.5 out of 5 for me. Like, it was a film that really did well with me. And yeah, I mean, Pansy is one of the hardest character I've ever had to watch on screen, but that's the fucking point. Once you realize what her story is and what her experience is, you're like, wow, yeah, I guess so. Like, yeah, it's extreme, but some people take those extremes and it validates the entire thing. So
you liked it far more than I did. Wow. I knew you enjoyed it, but
yeah, I really liked it. I watched a film called The Monk and the Gun. It's from 2023, but it was on like the for your consideration for last year's films.
I think I saw that at VIFF like 2 years ago.
Yeah, this one's interesting. It takes place in Bhutan. And basically, it's like an American trying to get this antique gun back to the States. And this is like the quietest chase movie. It's so weird, but beautifully shot and completely unpredictable. Like, I thought the third act went in completely unseen territory, and it really, really resonated with me in the end. I really enjoyed that one, and I lost my track of where I am. The Last Showgirl.
It's not very good, eh?
I would say the performances are good, the execution and the script are not.
Yeah.
Everybody is really good.
Jamie Lee Curtis steals the show.
The heartbreakingness of that dance when she climbs up to dance.
Yeah, that dance is so sad.
Oh, it's just what I pulled more a lot. And I know Gia Coppola wanted this to come out more, is just the fading. Like, the whole movie is just like the fading of a picture. But I just wish she didn't put that into the actual lensing of the film, because it really, really started to bug me. There's a lot of stuff in the kitchen. One of the first in Pam's character's kitchen with all the girls, and they kept doing it. It looked like the film was completely overexposed, and like it was like a B-roll clip that they should have reshot that they didn't. And then she continued to do that throughout the movie. There are times in the movie where some really great shots, especially some of those rooftop shots over Vegas and stuff, really great looking stuff, but it's just like everything else was not meeting that level. And maybe all the great acting, including Dave Bautista, who is, even with that hair.
Well, I was going to say, what did you think of that hair?
That hair is great.
Yeah,
that hair is great. I mean, when are him and Lou Diamond Phillips going to play brothers in a movie? Like, so good. They're setting it up. They're saying, like, Lou's got to stop doing fucking like werewolves and shit like that. But Yeah, let's get a Dave Bautista and an LDP movie. Pam's incredible. Incredible. And the movie didn't get celebrated as much as they, you know, clearly they wanted to, but I hope her takeaway is that she's really great in the film. There still is room for her to be an actress, I think. Brenda Song, actually, I really liked her in it too. So that's not just because I love her husband, but she's great too. But I don't know. Gia's just, there's something about her movies. She's just not quite there. Mel Gibson sneaks in for one of the worst movies of the year. And of course they released it in January. Mark Wahlberg has never been worse. Flight Risk is just a dog shit film that Michelle Dockery is acting way too hard for. Like, she is Michelle Dockery. Like, she is great. Like, I really, really enjoy her, but I feel bad that she's giving this much energy to a terrible film. Just a horrible, horrible film.
Like, what is she even thinking being in this thing? Is what
I guess I maybe know. Money. I guess because she, you know, maybe like a good paycheck, but even Mel's direction on this, like the guy, like as much as I hate the first act of Hacksaw Ridge, the second and third act fucking rip. It's a crazy ass movie. There is no semblance of this filmmaker within Flight Risk whatsoever. There's literally a shot in the movie that's the plane going from one side of the screen to the other. And I was like, are we fucking serious? That was as dynamic as you could make that shit?
Cineplex has been having a $5 Tuesdays.
Right.
So last Tuesday I saw The Brutalist and Flight Risk. And
what a twofer. What a twofer.
No kidding.
So the wow. The opening shot of Flight Risk is Topher Grace cooking noodles for 5 minutes.
And I'm this just is like, art. It's high
and
art.
I'm just like, oh God, it's we're in trouble. Bill. Oh, this is, yeah.
So wait, Adrian Brody got raped in a cave and then you got eye raped in a theater?
I did. Oh. I did. But it only cost me $5.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, for $5.
I hope we can get your money back.
No, actually, I use scene points.
Oh, I hope you can get those scene points back.
Yeah. But yeah, Flight Risk is awful.
Oh, it's so bad. It's so, and Mark Wahlberg's dialogue is from like a mid-90s sexual deviant bad guy.
Yeah, and as you said, the piss poor direction. Oh. Like, he finds a way to make mountains look bad. Like, it's yeah, just, yeah, I don't get it.
And can we talk about the bald cap?
Yeah, the worst bald cap in the history of bald caps.
Like, it looks classic. I can see your hair trying to poke through.
Yeah, and it's pushing down and its forehead is all scrunched because of it.
Yeah.
It's really weird looking. Yeah.
It's so weird looking. Why did it need that plot point? I'm not even sure why that was like necessary. Was that whose choice was that? I need commentary that I'll never watch.
Yeah, pretty much.
I got a 4K of this a while back and I've never seen it before, but I watched a film from 1999 called American Movie.
Oh.
From Christopher Smith.
Coven.
This movie is
so good.
It's so great. I can't believe this was the Tiger King guy.
Yeah.
Christopher Smith. His buddy, Mark Shank, who sadly passed away 2 years ago, might be like one of my favorite documentary people ever.
Yeah.
Documentary subjects ever. Just, he looks like he's lost in his own skull. And I love it. And Mark Borchardt is like this FUBAR filtered cinema auteur that is also a fucking Coppola level nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, what a fucking wild movie this is. I'm so,
I can't believe they put that out on 4K. That's on crazy.
4K. Yeah. Yeah. Sony put it out on 4K. And I'm disappointed in myself that I never got this to this movie to now, because this is totally my type of film. And even like the 2000 era when it came out is my movie like of the time. Like this would have like nestled into my, like my love of Clerks and shit like that. Like that's where the, like this film is fucking brilliant. And I'm surprised that it doesn't get brought up more because it's so great.
Did the 4K have Coven?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Because the Blu-ray I have has Coven, and yeah. I watch it maybe once every year. It's incredible.
It's such a wild movie. It's so wild. I mean, he's an insane person. I mean, especially drunk Mark. Like, yeah. After a Packers game, drunk Mark is just like, he's a tyrant. It's just such a great movie. Let's continue on the documentary trail. I watched Lucy Lawless's documentary on Margaret Moth, Never Look Away. An interesting film as far as the war journalist thing, and to watch just kind of a reckless human being, a definite problematic human being, because it's like she like plucked a dude out of high school. Well, she was like, you know, an almost 30-year-old woman, and it's like that doesn't age too well. But I don't know. Like, do you know about Margaret Moth? She had her jaw shot off in fucking Sarajevo.
Wow.
And then went back.
Is this streaming somewhere or screening somewhere now?
I have a screener for it. That's how I saw it. It's wild. Yeah, it's, I thought it was pretty interesting. Lucy Lawless is a, like, you can tell this is her first kind of her first feature. She's a little rough around the edges. But I really dug it. It's got a lot of firsthand account because she was, Chrissy Amrapour's, video journalist. So there's a lot of interview with her that I thought was pretty interesting. But yeah, especially, you know, coming off of, Civil War and everything last year, anything war journal stuff, I'm pretty into. This one's not out yet until February 11th, but The Witcher is releasing a new animated film called Sirens of the Deep. Such a throwaway, like hour and a half movie, animated movie. Like, it feels like they took The Witcher and then they made a story with like the Little Mermaid type of lore, because this has to deal with like kind of like underwater people. What? And stuff like that. Yeah. 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 They go back to Yaskier's hometown. And that's the highlight. The fact that Joy Batty is still Yaskier's voice in this, because it's not Henry Cavill voice in this one at all. But Yaskier is like my favorite character on the show. So I thought that was entertaining enough, but only if you're a really deep fan will you really care about watching it.
Special appearance by the sharks from Gladiator 2.
Yeah, exactly. They probably are in there. You know, Ridley needs his money.
Yeah.
I brought the kid to Dog Man.
And
Hannah's read all of the books multiple times over. Says this was like perfect. It was a perfect representation in every form. They really liked, I enjoyed it. I thought it's massively silly. It just never takes itself seriously for a second. But I had a few really good laughs at this movie. Pete Davidson's really funny as the villain, Petey the cat. And then Ricky Gervais is a voice in this one. It's cute. You can tell that, DreamWorks wants to build on something with this movie. It is for a bit younger audience. I think like the Minions crowd would really like this one, but I can see it being successful. Just for the little kids for sure. So what I was watching for this episode, Universal Language. I love the look of this film and the oddity and parallel oddity that they're bringing in the story. I just didn't feel like the triptych added up to enough for me. I felt like there's this whole subplot with the money frozen. It felt like a little bit like child version of Fargo-esque, like the guarding of this money and stuff. And you know, Matthew Rankin definitely has a filter of his own between this and 20th Century. Like, I don't think it's something that I get, though.
So that whole money thing is like a play on a Kiarostami film. And Rankin talked about that in the Q&A, how he just loves Kiarostami. But man, like, there's so many like hilariously like what the fuck moments in that film.
The turkeys, they're show turkeys, not even prize turkeys. They're like show turkeys that run around the city for their beauty because they beautify the city. Like, there's a lot of like, and of course, to see street signs and like Tim Horton signs and stuff done in Farsi. Like,
the best part, it's like Tim Horton's, and then it's like always fresh. So good. My audience at VIFF absolutely hated this film.
Oh, I could see it rubbing people the wrong way, to be honest.
And the four of us in the audience who dug it really dug it. It was cool. And I was with those people. They were my homies. It was great. But yeah, it's a strange film.
I didn't give it a bad review. I just kind of like kind of met it the middle, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that might have been my start of the King of Canadian Film, because I was just all over that film.
I could feel it. I could feel it. We'll keep it brewing too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep it brewing. So yeah, I watched The Order. Damn, that's a film. Holy shit. I really, really, really like that film. Another film that is a 4.5 out of 5. When did Jude Law get so goddamn good?
I don't know, but and not only like he is aged like fine wine. He looks so good.
He's just so good, and I love the relationship with Ty Sheridan and how it starts to change Ty Sheridan into him until that tragic final moment. You know, it's just so well done.
Yeah, this movie is so much better than it's getting credit for. Like, I don't think enough people have seen it. Which is the problem, because it is so good.
Yeah, and Nick Holt. Goddamn. Just goddamn. There is one scene in particular that I have to is an interrogation scene where in the jail cell where he starts pushing his face into the guy. I was like, this is so fucking interesting.
It's also weirdly calm at times. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, wow, this film has got some really harsh subject matter. And it is really calm right now. What is going on?
Yeah, this is my favorite Kurzel film.
Yeah, I think that's what I like about all of his movies, though. Like, he has these moments of calmness and, like, almost tranquility, and everything gets really quiet for a bit. And so then when the action starts, you're like, holy fuck, where'd that come from? It's like his ammo. Like, he does that in all of his movies, and it works really, really well.
I wish that Macbeth wasn't such a fumble.
Yeah.
I still don't hate Macbeth, but I agree it's not his best.
I'm not going to tell you what happens at the ending of this film, but it happened. I'm like, they actually fucking did that?
Mm-hmm.
You're kidding me. All right. And I looked it up, and they did that.
Yeah. It's pretty hardcore.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. That's all right. Cool. Not cool.
Yeah.
Hey, you would get in a lot of trouble now because social media and documenting shit.
Yeah.
No fucking way that would have happened now.
Nope.
It's ballsy in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
No kidding, eh?
That's what was really fucked up for me too, because I've been to Coeur d'Alene a bunch of times with my dad, like when I was a kid through early teen years and stuff. So yeah, it's a fucking great film, and just the filter of how that it shot too is.
Did they give you the book? Did they give you the book? Whatever that book was called.
No. I love this postscript at the end of the film. It's like, oh, that book is also used for the Gen 6 insurrection too, right? Oh,
yeah, no kidding, right?
Oh, okay. And one more. And I don't want to give any more than this. I'll probably even just read my Letterboxd review of it. Star Trek Section 31, Michelle Yeoh bringing Georgiou back. Like, my favorite character of that Star Trek is her character. And they just fucking took a big old diarrhea on it. Because what a horrible piece of shit. Nothing works. And any greatness that they can elevate in this film is just squashed under everything that's awful about this film. And it's just a massive waste of time. It was just an egregious. You can feel it wasting your time.
Yeah, it's so bad. And it looks terrible. The most recent batch, like this newer iteration, the Kurtzman iteration of Star Trek has been so good. Like they've done such a great job of the visual effects and actually telling a visual story and like bringing in some interesting like visual designs and visual effects. And everything has been like really pared down. This is like the ugliest thing ever. And it's such a confusing mess. None of it makes sense. Like, it's badly written. It's badly acted. Like,
I can't even believe they released it. There are complete characters within the Star Trek world that make no sense whatsoever. Even the fucking, even the partially metal alien dude they bring in, the guy makes zero sense. It makes no sense. Terrible, terrible. Just so bad. They should accidentally purge it from Paramount Plus. Just out the airlock of Paramount Plus. We're done. We never have to think about that it ever existed again, because what we're doing is we're protecting Michelle Yeoh's image.
I can't believe that they even, like, I'm curious to see.
Wasn't it supposed to be a series?
Yeah. And I'm curious, like, did they actually have enough material for a series? If they did, was it going to look like this too? Because it would have been a terrible series.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure.
Kind of surprised there was something on that channel that wasn't written by Sheridan. But hey, what? Let's go.
No, you got to remember, it started with Star Trek, though. Paramount Plus, like launched with like Picard and shit like that. Like they were like, that's what they were predicated on. Then they lucked into the fact that Yellowstone picked up and was huge. And then they're like, okay, that's our horse. And they shifted everything off of Star Trek onto Taylor Sheridan. And he's still kind of carrying it, because honestly, I just watched episode 3 of Lioness, and that was a banger of an episode. Cause
is that season 1?
Season 2, episode 3.
I haven't watched season 2 yet, but I really liked season 1. I thought it was a really good show.
Of season 2, episode 1 and 3, I think, succeed that entire first season.
Oh, wow. I've also really liked The Agency.
Oh, with Fassbender. I was so blown away that Fassbender was doing television. That's like,
it's pretty good. Fassbender and Richard Gere and...
Richard Gere, yeah, that's a weird one. And Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah, Richard Gere is hardly in it. I think it's pretty hard. Like, he is, like, in every third episode or something.
But he's, like, top-line build. I also hear that Demi Moore is in Landman, but I have yet to see her in an episode that I've seen so far.
I haven't watched that yet, so... But yeah, skip section 31. It's terrible.
That was a long-winded way to say, fuck that film and its intergalactic asshole.
Wow,
Bill, you don't know the half of it. It's so bad.
I feel like my half star review on Letterboxd hasn't done enough damage that I need.
I did give it 1.5 stars.
You are so generous.
So
you are so giving.
Sam Richardson is so good.
So did January come to TV too? Like,
yeah, seems like it.
I would say no, because there's good stuff that came out in January on TV.
Yeah, I got a couple of TV shows I'm going to talk about.
I will also say that so far, Dog Man is the best movie of January that I saw.
Yes!
Yeah. That was released in January.
I have not seen Dog Man, but I've seen two good movies in January.
Oh, okay, that were released this month?
Yes.
That were released this month? Okay.
Okay, Bill, hit us. Give theaters. Us your list.
Okay, well... I'll start with a cool one. Omar and Cedric, if this ever gets weird, the documentary of the two members of At the Drive-In and the Mars Volta, two bands I really, really enjoy. Mm-hmm. They're both really strange guys, and they look like they're probably really hard to work with, but damn, they make good music. And they've had some really weird shit go on in their lives, including Cedric's wife was... sexually assaulted by Danny Masterson when they were when they were all Scientologists, and Cedric went nuts and like just went after him like on social media and like stood outside like courtrooms with signs, and that's kind of interesting stuff. Good for him, you know, that's awesome. But yeah, it's mostly about the music, and they're the Mars Volta's first drummer, John Theodore, is a goddamn genius. He now plays for Queens of the Stone Age. And I used to be a really crappy drummer, and I love John Theodore. It's good. I really liked it.
I like how you like squeeze in this like tidbit of information that I've never known before.
I used to be a really shitty drummer in a punk band. Yeah.
Drummers rule. Okay. Yes,
they do.
I love drums. I'm always air drumming. Always. Yeah. Yeah. Always. This is why I will forever love like Fear Factory. Because Raymond Herrera is an arsenal of drums. And I fucking love it. As I mean, like Neil Peart is a god we look up to. Danny Carey is like an all-time favorite. I mean, my drummer list can go on. I mean, another one that's up in heaven, Joey Jordison, rest in peace. I mean, drums are a big fucking deal to me. Big deal. I'm a many, many, many favorite drummers out there,
including Bill Harris.
Yeah, I was in a really bad punk band. And just for shits and giggles, my punk band's name was Nice Guy Eddie.
I like it. Yeah, that's awesome.
Does everybody get that reference?
Yeah, okay, absolutely. Cool. Sure. Absolutely. You would have fit in on a Warp tour like nobody's business.
Yeah, completely. I used to have really long hair, so yeah.
I'm trying to picture this. I'm gonna need photos.
I used to look a lot different than I do now. Let's just put it that way. I also saw I'm shocked Steve didn't see this. I just have a feeling that Steve would love this film because I know how much he hates the first one. Big Nick is back, friends. Den of Thieves, Pantera. And
I don't know what I saw instead of that movie, but I definitely did not go see that.
Yeah, Big Nick and and Ice Cube Jr. are back.
Speaking of charisma vacuums.
Yes, oh my god. And like no Pantera songs, like no Walk.
What's the point? Why is it called Pantera? Give me this spoiler.
Okay, so the criminal gangs were called like the Panthers and the Pantera.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, so.
Come on. They're making a third one, too. They have greenlit a third movie, so we're getting more. And this one is even Rick Roman Waugh that did it, was it?
No, it's Christian Gadgast or something like that. Like the first one was totally like redneck heat.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it goes to Europe.
So it's Euro trash
heat? It's Euro trash heat. yeah, it's not terrible. I didn't think the first one was terrible, but the first one was like deliberately slow at times, and this one is not. It's just super fast, and it's still 2 hours and 20 minutes long. Like it's
why?
I don't know, but
between the two films, that's like 5 hours and 15 minutes.
No thanks.
and why is Gerard Butler's hair always so wet? Like, I don't get it.
He is slick. That man produces his own oil at this point. He is lubricated.
I can't hold it in anymore. It's too much.
I don't know. I just feel that O'Shea is so miscast. I don't hate the guy at all. I really like Straight Outta Compton, and I thought he was really great in it. I have seen stuff that I really enjoy. Ingress Goes West, I really enjoyed him in that. There's a bunch of stuff I really enjoyed him. This stuff doesn't work. He's not... I don't think he should do his dad's movies.
Dude, it only gets worse. Oh. He plays a Frenchman in the film called Jean-Jacques.
No.
And the entire... In the entire film, he talks to like a this, like you're talking in a French.
What? Italian?
Or something. It's so terrible. Like, I think he's supposed to be French, but it does not sound like French. It is so bad.
No. And that still earned them a third movie.
Yeah, because it made money. It was like number one movie of that weekend.
Not anything will make money in January, but a lot of things will make money in January.
But yeah, it's not terrible. It's actually watchable at times and kind of fun at times. And there's a couple of good like chase scenes that are fun. But yeah, just like you ever want to watch Gerard Butler act like he's high? This is your film. Like,
oh, there's the joke in the trailer where we met on Tinder.
Yeah, it's bad. Like,
wow, I love tough guy jokes so much.
Yeah, it's like a 2.5 out of 5 all day.
Which is, I mean, sometimes entertaining.
Yeah, it didn't piss me off, had some decent moments, but man, yeah, some of it's not good. I finally saw the last movie of my 2024, which was September 5.
Ooh.
Which is actually a pretty good movie. It's just very by the books. And I knew exactly what was going to happen. And nothing really was different than I thought was going to happen.
It's just kind of you're in, you're out.
That's yeah, it was really good. It's really well made. The story is great. Like, not great. Like, it's terrible. But, like, it moves very well. And acting is really incredible. Like, John Leguero is really good. And Peter Sarsgaard, good. Ben Chapin throwing missiles around. He's, like, really good.
I didn't even realize that was him when I first saw. I saw, like, a full scene from it. And I was like, oh, shit, that was Ben Chapin. Like, it didn't even dawn on me.
But, like, I'm sitting there. And the movie ends. I'm like, shit, that was fast.
Yeah, it's the editing on it. Like, that's what Dan and I said, too. The editing on it is, like, super, super tight. Like, it just, the pacing is off the chart. It's so good.
Yeah.
I love a good editing.
Yeah, it's really, really, I thought the same thing. I thought it was really, really well made. Definitely a step up from The Colony in Hell. Hell is not a good movie. The Colony, I don't mind, but this is like, if you had told me this is the same director, I would have said, are you on crack? Like, where did this come from? But it's really, 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 really great.
Yeah, that's on my list to watch. I'll have seen it by next episode for sure.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was impressed. I thought it was great too.
Wolfman sucked.
We don't need to rip that wound off anymore. If we did, it would look all weird and fucked up and not quite like a wound.
I don't know if Marina saw this already, but I saw a pretty cool anime film called The Colors Within.
Yes, I saw that last year at Annecy. It's so good.
It's good, yeah. A catchy little film about these students who... one of them sees colors, like Pharrell Williams, and...
I thought that would be a down thing for you.
Yeah, you never know.
I'm surprised.
And she sees like the auras of people, and she's one of her classmates quits school, and she goes and sees her, and she's into guitar, and this other guy's there, and they're like, oh, they're talking about instruments, like, oh, we should start a band. So they start a band, and it's just a really cute film. Like, I was just like, I'm crushing on this film. It's really nice.
It's great. Music is great. The visuals are beautiful. Like, it has this very, like, watercolory light touch visual. The thing that this was the movie that I was telling you guys about that I watched it with French subtitles in Japanese.
Oh, wow.
The thing that I think is interesting to note is, one, it's not often that you get an anime directed by a woman, which we have here, and she does a bang up job. And two, this also has like a religious and like gay overtones that are also not common in anime, and which rub a lot of people the wrong way, which I think is why the movie plays so well too. Like, the messaging here is, it's not like in your face, but it's also not hiding anything. It's a very light touch. So I think it's playing like on a level where it's super entertaining and really beautiful and really fun to watch, but it also is like touching some really interesting themes. I think it's beautiful. I told everybody to see it. See it, people. It's fantastic.
Yeah, G Kids has put it out. It went pretty wide in Canada. I don't know about the US, but yeah, it was really fun. I liked it quite a bit. I saw The Brutalist again, as I said. Played better on the big screen. Not shocking. Other than it was really dark. I remember the screener being a lot lighter than that, but it was a very dark film for some reason. I didn't have as many problems with the third act this time because I knew what was coming up. But yeah, I still don't like the third act. I don't know. It just doesn't work for me. Still a really great film. And I'm going to probably buy the 4K and love it.
Yeah.
Just turn it off when they hit the granite mountain.
You know what's going to go on.
Yeah. I saw Companion, which I actually really liked.
Good.
Good. I wish it went a little harder.
Mark said the same thing.
Yeah, I wish it would, but I still liked it. Okay. It's
good.
Hopefully Steve got it ruined, what the premise is, which kind of sucks, but hopefully.
Yeah, it's in the synopsis.
Is it? Wow, it is awful.
It's in the synopsis. It's the, you know what, they should, it's the Abigail problem.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have fucking said anything about Abigail. They should have said it was a heist. They all end up in a mansion. Something's getting them.
Yeah.
Boom. Go. They fucked radio silence with that. I think Abigail would have been fucking huge if they kept that secret.
Yeah. So like, too bad about that. Like I thought the trailers were good and didn't really say anything. So that sucks. But yeah, I was like, oh, so they're doing this. This is kind of cool. I was pleasantly surprised by it. Sophie Thatcher is great. Jack Quaid's great. And Rupert Friend shows up. It's like this, like,
as an old man,
like this sleazy, slimy Russian guy with a mustache. He's hilarious. His name's Sergey. It's pretty funny. It's decent. This feels not like a January film, just like a film they had no idea what to do.
They had no idea. Yeah, exactly. And it's from, because Drew Hancock's never directed a film before, has he?
No, I don't think so.
This is his first feature. So yeah, it's like, what the fuck do we do? It's like Megan.
Yeah.
What do we do with this? This is weird. Speaking of Megan, Marina, how are we feeling about that tease we got?
I don't know, man. It looks pretty fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be stupid.
Slay. Okay, I saw that trailer. I'm like, my niece is going to, like, she is going to drive me bananas to go and see this thing. Well, when she sees that teaser trailer, she's going to be like, can we go see this? I can just see it already.
Well, it's just crazy that in a week we got, well, in not even a week, a few days, we got a possible tease that Lillard is returning to Scream. We got that Megan 2.0 trailer, the poster and the teaser, and we got a Final Destination Bloodlines teaser today.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet. Oh, I love Zach.
And they're filming a Buffy the Vampire Slayer reboot trailer, reboot with Sarah Michelle Gellar, and Chloe Zhao is the director.
I'm sorry, come the fuck again.
Yeah.
You mean I might actually watch Buffy?
Dreams do come true. This is like when they announced the Veronica Mars new series. I was just like, oh.
I am one of these people that didn't watch Buffy when it was on. I don't know why. It just escaped me.
Pop culturally great. I still quote lines from it.
I went back to try to see it because I'm like, I need to fill this gap because I should have seen this. I couldn't do it.
Well, because 1 and 2 are really fucking rough right now. It's like I saw the TV glow type of thing. Like, it's going to be really hard for you to understand what we all saw in it because it looks like shit now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know how everybody feels because I tried to get, because I think my niece would love the 100. I like it's so in her wheelhouse.
There's still time for the 100.
I don't know, dude. I tried. She's like,
really?
This is cringe. I don't want to watch this.
Oh, because I thought it looked pretty slick in the beginning.
But the thing is, it's not really streaming anywhere. It's hard to find.
I want to buy the set. I've seen the set out there in the wild.
Oh, I'm going to have to try to find that because, ugh.
I also hate to tell you, but Buffy season 1 is really rough. It doesn't really start till season 2. Oh.
Yeah.
Can I just skip to season 2?
And Jealous, you need to bring Angel in.
Yeah.
Angel is a huge part and Spike and all that stuff. Season 1 is just to set up the Scoobies. That's it. The Scoobies and Giles. That's
it. It's like Monster of the Week every week. And then actual plots start in season 2.
Oh, and Angel is so... Angel's my series. Yeah. The whole Wolfram and Hart thing.
A couple more things. Oh yeah, and by the way, I totally looked at Melissa's letterbox page. She didn't watch Wolfman. I'm an idiot. sorry, Melissa. I'm an idiot. Just some TV. Paradise is pretty fucking good,
right? It surprised the fuck out of me. The last 10-15 minutes of episode 1, I was like, huh? Like, what's going on now? Why are they going into this Oval Office for a weird meeting? What is going on?
And why does that guy keep on eating that guy's food when it makes him poop?
Yeah.
Why?
Reasons, Bill. Reasons. Yes.
I love that that's a plot thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's a good show. Looking forward to where it goes. And Severance still rules. Holy, does it still rule.
Okay, guys, the goats are driving me bananas. I'm just like, what the fuck is happening? It's so weird.
How odd is Apple TV Plus as a streaming service? So they have this Silo Ted Lasso.
Listen, they are killing it. Foundation
for All Mankind. Yeah, Foundation for All Mankind.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of stuff, but they have some.
It's some focused good shit, though. Like, you can. I do wish Master of the Air was way better than it was, because it was just not. It was so. It was so mid. It really was.
I'm also really enjoying my friends who didn't see season one when it aired. They're like, yeah, so I watched this Severance show. It's really weird. I'm like, yes, I know, I love it.
Well, I was one of those people, because I hadn't seen season one. I think I'd only watched two episodes, and 2 weeks ago I watched it, and literally, like, I was up. I was like, okay, I'm gonna go to bed. I need to go to sleep. But I just seen episode 8, and I'm like, fuck, I can't leave it like this. Oh, so good.
Well, at least you got to power through. We all had to wait. That sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only advantage.
Without this show, without, you know, a show like Twin Peaks, Severance wouldn't exist. So I'm still currently rewatching Twin Peaks. I think this is my 27th time going through the series. I'm in season 2, episode 4.
I watched a couple episodes after the last episode. I'm like, yeah, still really love Sherilyn Fenn.
Oh, yeah. The episode I just watched, she goes, I'm Audrey Horne and I get what I want. I was like, fuck yeah, you do, Audrey. Anything you want.
Yep. But that's it for me.
I don't have a lot to add to this list. 2073, which is this pseudo weird mix of documentary and sci-fi futuristic thriller with Samantha Morton.
Oh, one of my favorites. She is always one of my favorites. Always.
She's fantastic. And she's one of the reasons that I really wanted to see this. Capadia makes some good movies, but he's generally like in the like sports documentary. So this is a little bit odd for him. It's not great. It doesn't give you anything new. Like it's a mix of this, you know, futuristic sci-fi universe that's not that far away, and you know, the realities of what's happening now. Some of it, like some of the CG for the future, looks really bad, but some of it also looks really good. And the imagining of what is coming is scary as shit, because it feels so like close. So it's really depressing to watch. Like, you watch the news, you know, all this shit is happening, and he doesn't tell you anything new, but seeing it all together in 90 minutes, it's like, fuck, we're all fucked. This is the future. It's inevitable.
Wouldn't it be the first time Capadius depressed me? I watched Amy.
Oh yeah. Well, this is it.
Asif Kapadia made Senna, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That the movie's a genius film.
It's really fucking good. It's
he's a really good filmmaker, and this is interesting. It's just.
I'm surprised there's been really nothing behind it. Like, I knew it by title, but I didn't know it was a Capadia film.
Yeah,
it's Neon, if I'm not mistaken.
It is
because I saw 40 minutes of this and fell asleep. So is that my review?
Yeah, maybe. Wasn't there already a film like this where it was like showing the utopia of the future?
I think so.
The other side of it. I forget. It was like 2040 or something like that. And it was like, if the world could get together on a new world order level and create utopia together.
How about everybody just watch 2046, the Wong Kar-wai film that's a sequel to In the Mood for Love? It's really good.
What would that do for us? It'll just be a good film. It won't do anything for society, but it'll just be a good film to watch.
Because this just in, Tony Leung is handsome.
Oh, he's more than handsome.
That's just in? I mean, I feel like American audiences got a glimpse of it when they got to watch Shang-Chi.
Yes.
Oh, good.
But
not great.
Is that's not even his full name, is it, Bill? It's Tony Leung Kar-fai,
or something like that. Yeah,
because there's two Tony Leungs.
Only one in my heart, Steve.
I know which one rules your heart.
Oh God, I watched Hilary Lorraine's Instinct, which was her feature film debut. So I can report that Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is the odd film out.
Weird.
So this is Chris Van Houten, who is so good.
The Red Witch herself?
Oh, she is beautiful. Let's just say that. And
yeah, I was gonna say, have you seen Black Book?
Black Book. Oh my god. Woo! Sweating, thinking about that movie.
Yeah, she's pretty amazing. And here she plays a psychologist who takes a job at a men's prison, like a prison slash halfway house. And so she has this illicit relationship with this inmate. It's not steamy. It's really kind of creepy, but it's also pushing the envelope about like relationships and sex. And so it's very much in the wheelhouse of Baby Girl, which is why I say that Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is clearly the odd movie out, because it is not like the other two. It's good. I really enjoyed it. The ending is very, very unexpected and really turns the movie on its head. I really thought it was quite good. I finally caught up with Kneecap. Guys, this movie is so fantastic. And how are these guys? Like, I'm shocked that these are like the actual guys. You're like solid fucking actors, man.
Yeah. I fucking love Kneecap so much. On my regular playlist that I listen to at work, my boss, I even like said, we play Hood all the time. HOOD. Fuck yeah. I love them and DJ Provi.
I thought it was really, really good. I love what it's saying about language and culture. Mm-hmm. And I was like in this moment where I just like read a bunch of stuff about the loss of language and it just kind of struck home at that point. So highly recommended and really, really fun to watch. You're cordially invited with Reese Witherspoon and Will Ferrell.
Oh, fuck. I can't think that this is good.
Steve said it all right there. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. How are these guys? Like, they're the oddest couple ever. And yes, they do make them a couple. It's so weird. Geraldine Viswanathan. Is that how you pronounce her name?
I like her. She's quite good.
She's really fun. And the movie isn't horrible. It's very predictable. It's exactly what you would expect it to be from watching the trailer. It's really stupid in places. And yeah, then you have this weird Reese Witherspoon, Will Ferrell relationship thing, which is just strange.
Yeah, I don't know just about
strange.
That.
And that's all for movies. And I will mention just for TV, did you guys see American Primeval?
I watched the first episode. That was gnarly.
That first episode, I keep going back to that fucking...
The attack scene.
It's insane.
It's so crazy.
It's like, I need the full like breakdown of that shot because it is fucking crazy. I still don't know how they did it. Like, it's so nuts.
Yeah, it's really, really well done. Oh, the effect on Dane DeHaan is so gross looking.
Yeah, I did see some behind the scenes of that, and it's like part practical effect and part
CG. Well, yeah. Some of it would have to be.
Yeah.
It's ugly.
Pretty nuts.
It's a nasty show. And it's funny because I just finished Terminal List, which I was really late to. And Taylor Kitsch is in that. And then right into Primeval.
Yeah. I really like this show. The opening scenes, I thought, well, this looks a little weird. I think it's a little too clean when it starts. But yeah, that scene still plays back in my mind. I'm like, how the fuck did they do that? The show gets like, it's intense. Like, it is super brutal.
I think the one of the benefits to it is having a good female lead, and Betty Gilpin always has like a hardness to her that is always works for, it works for this show a lot.
And they keep that mystery. Like, there's like the mystery of like who she is and what's happening.
She's just being hunted. You know what I mean? There's a bounty on her.
And you don't know what happens until like pretty much the last episode. It's pretty crazy. Yeah, it's super good.
Peter Berg made it.
Yeah, Peter Berg directs. Yeah, most of the episodes. It's super solid. Dan and I like binge watched this in 2 days. Like, we could not get enough. It's so good.
Western has like a genre hold. Sometimes if you do it well, and People are looking for a good one.
Admittedly, story-wise, it's not like reinventing the wheel or anything, but I think it's really, really well made, and it does get at some like interesting things towards the second half of. It's only like six episodes, but it's really, really good. I really enjoyed it. That's all I got. Not very much. So for our next show, Bill, what's coming that we get to select from?
All right. So on February 7th, Netflix has an Amy Schumer movie called Kinda Pregnant.
No.
Looks awful.
Nope.
I watched the trailer because I was just curious. Steve was completely correct. No.
Nope.
Come on. That's the one I want to see.
Yes. Feel free. Heart Eyes opens.
Josh Rubin. Devin Sawa is in it.
Looks great.
Marina. Devin Sawa is in it.
I'm in.
Okay. That might be the one, Bill.
Might be the one. Love Hurts with Ki Hu Kwan.
This looks fun. I saw a featurette because I was watching the Royal Rumble, and they had a featurette because Love Hurts was one of the. It was either that or SmackDown is like a sponsor or whatever. So they showed a commercial for it that turned out to be a featurette, and Ki Hu Kwan is like fully stunt trained to the tits, like the man, and he has been brewing this movie in his head for a long time in this fight choreography, and I think it's gonna be really mind-blowing.
He also seems like a really cool dude.
I'm excited for him so much. I adore him. He's like bucket list want to meet that guy. Like, he just gives that attitude, and I wanted to succeed. And it has Sean Astin in it.
And it's directed by a stunt guy, so you know it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be fun. Just, I hope people give it a chance.
And because Steve brought it up, they should have put Cena over. But hey, that's just me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wait, are you telling me Cena's back in wrestling?
Yeah, he was in the Royal Rumble. This is his final year. It's his final year. So he's going to do the big, it's going to be his last like Elimination Chamber. It'll be his last WrestleMania. It'll be his last.
Yeah. I love John Cena.
I do too. He's Big Match John. He's Big Match John. He's been a staple in the wrestling industry for so long. Although he's retiring before a lot of at an age.
Let's be honest. John Cena doesn't need wrestling.
No, he's an actor now. He's like 100% an actor now.
He's also really good at stealing the Oscars with like little bits. That little thing where he came out naked last year was quite good.
Oh, good.
But people thought it was part of the Hollywood shame ritual and stuff. Like, the fucking MAGA Republicans went fucking nuts. It was hilarious.
So good.
They're shaming them. It's like when they put black people in dresses. Black men in dresses. It's like, holy crap, you guys are reaching.
So I don't think Steve will get this one because I think it's IMAX only, Becoming Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, and they won't even give me a fucking screener for it. I've asked. I was like, what the hell, man? What the hell, mongrel?
Led Zeppelin. Yeah. Good band.
It's got really bad reviews, though.
Really?
It's 50% rotten on
Rotten
Tomatoes.
I was going to check it out, but maybe I'll wait for the
digital. But it's IMAX, though, so do it.
Bring Them Down, which Steve already talked about.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that one.
Yeah.
It's a movie one, and it's Barry and Christopher Abbott.
Weirdly, Parasite's being re-released in IMAX.
I love the movie, but how many times are we going to re-release this movie?
Yeah, it's good. I guess to like because Mickey 17 is coming out in 2 weeks.
And I think that's exactly it. And the press release I saw was to celebrate Parasite's 5th year anniversary of winning the Oscar. I'm like, you know, this is your way to advertise Mickey 17, which doesn't need any help.
But you've been dropping the ball on by delaying and delaying. The movie's done. There's no more changes that are going to happen to this movie. You just don't know what to do with this movie.
They don't know how to sell it. Like, how do you sell this thing? It's
just
crazy.
Just put it the fuck out and let the audience sell it for you. Like, holy fucking Christ.
I saw a trailer for it before Companion, and it said it opened in April. It opens in March.
Yeah, because they moved it forward and moved it back. I don't even know what the fuck. It's so fucking all over the place.
Yeah, they have no idea what they're doing.
They have no idea. And you know what? If you're going to re-release one of Bong's movies, release Okja.
I saw it on the big screen at VIFF.
So did I. I don't
know. It was killer.
I like that movie.
So
it's
much.
My least favorite.
Oh,
really? It's so good.
Jake is amazing in that movie.
No, thanks.
And Tilda, clearly Tilda.
Tilda's always great.
She's so good. But Jake, he could be hitting or miss. So he's really good in that movie. I just love that character. It's just.
And just for the record, Bong's best movie is Memories of Murder.
I could go with that.
That movie rules.
Memories of Murder is really good.
It's really good. So Paolo Sorrentino's back with Parthenope.
Yes. I'll have the screener for that one.
Yeah, so. That trailer looked pretty interesting. The woman is beautiful. Holy. But yeah, Paolo is a pretty damn good director.
They delayed it to the 21st, though.
Have they? Okay.
Yes.
That's weird. This website told me lies.
Yeah. I the last email, because Mongrel's releasing it, so the last email I got said it was on the 21st.
Interesting. Yeah. February 14th, Bridget Jones is back, but not on the big screen.
No, because is it Peacock in the States? And then for us, it's Amazon Prime.
I don't know. Yeah. Could be good.
Yeah, I like them. I've liked all the movies. I've always had a soft spot. I own the first two on DVD.
That's more than I can say for myself. Holy shit, Steve.
I have so many movies, though. So I'm just buying them like... Especially back in those DVD days.
Captain America is back. Brave New World.
Who's the director on it again?
I don't know, but is this going to be the...
I know who it is.
Is this going to be like the lowest grossing Marvel film of all time? Kind of has that vibe to it.
Anthony Mackie is not on the caliber of the other stars. I think it's the Overlord guy that did this movie.
I like Anthony Mackie. I have no interest.
Weirdly, I kind of think it might be like almost like a mystery noir kind of movie.
It could be great. I will not go see it in theaters. I just have zero interest.
Don't worry. It'll be on Disney Plus in 3 weeks.
I'll watch it.
It's directed by Julius Ona, who directed The Cloverfield Paradox and Loose with Kelvin Harrison.
Cloverfield Paradox was the worst film of that year. Hey, everybody, we got this movie coming out on Netflix right after the Super Bowl, except for it fucking sucks.
I remember this.
Paddington in Peru opens. I heard it's not very good, though.
What?
Yeah, I know people who've seen it, and they say it's not very good.
Oh, that's so sad.
But
that's what happens when Paul King doesn't make it.
Exactly. Like, keep with the winning formula, man. Wallace and Gromit knew it. They did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Universal Language opens in the US.
They're not going to get that movie.
What's a Tim Hortons?
I've been seeing what the average American's been talking in the last little bit, because I've been following very closely here. And they're not going to get that movie. Well, your bad reviews haven't hit the tomato meter yet, because it's got 69 reviews and it's at 93%.
Wow, that's cool. Well, I hope it's good.
I really hope it's good, too. Who even made it this time around? Dougal Wilson. What the hell did Dougal Wilson do? I think this is his first movie.
Oh, wow.
What did Paul King do before Paddington? Is Paddington his debut?
Paddington.
Paddington 2, and then Wonka. That's Paul King's whole filmography, isn't it?
No, I don't think so. Hold on. I vaguely remember him having done something else. Maybe it is.
Yeah, and he directed episodes of The Mighty Boosh before.
Yeah. That was his first.
That guy's got a really good fucking record right now.
No kidding.
I dig Wonka, so...
Oh, wow. Listen, he's making a movie with Chris Hemsworth. Add to the watch list. I don't care what it is, folks.
Oh, shit. Interesting. So, yeah, I would say Heart Eyes.
That's my vote, too.
Heart Eyes.
Is that going to open wide enough for me to see it?
It is wide. It should be opening wide. I will know tomorrow for sure, because my theater will put up their Friday listing.
Yeah, I need to find a rhythm for watching new movies now that I have work a regular 9 to 5. But so if it's somewhere like in a regular theater, I will make the effort to see it. So if this opens wide enough, I'll be A-okay.
Yeah, I'm seeing that that in Love Hurts on Thursday. So
that's going to be our picks, guys. Either Hard Eyes or Love Hurts. We'll figure it out.
I say yeah. I'll throw one more because did we all say we'd watch Bridget Jones?
Oh, I'm there. I'll see. Let's make Bill watch Bridget Jones.
Oh, this will be hilarious.
I actually think we might be more hard pressed to have Melissa watch it.
Yeah,
that's very true. She'll be into Hard Eyes, though.
I think so too.
She would be into that more than Love Hurts.
Let's pick Hard Eyes and go from there.
I'm going to derail the show for a second because Steve brought up Wonka and I brought up Wonka. Do you guys see Timmy on SNL doing the Dylan songs?
So good. And doing Dylan songs that are like deep pulls.
Deep. So I actually thought the musical performances were far better than the sketches. I didn't think any of the sketches were particular.
The budgie shit was fucking hilarious. I was dying in that. And then the Troy Sivan.
Okay, that was fun.
I really thought the AI video one was kind of funny.
Yeah, with him and Bo and Yang. That was good.
I don't know. I didn't think it was great.
No, but he might be winning an Oscar this year. I don't know. I'm kind of getting that vibe.
I don't know, man.
Hey, I thought he was the worst part of the film. So yeah. He was good, but I like me some Pete Seeger.
He's not winning it.
No, he's not. Not even close.
Not even close.
Thanks for coming, Edward Norton.
You and your forehead.
Yeah.
Okay, so where can folks find you between now and the next show?
I am Bill Harris. There's been weirdly talk of Adrian and I making another podcast. Our first in over a year, I think. And it'll be a top 10 show of stuff I've already talked about. I mean, top 34. Adrian
37.
Yeah, 37. Yeah, you can find me on Blue Sky. I'm That Bill Harris and Letterboxd at SoundJam69. Have a good couple weeks.
Yeah, and same here. You can find me on Blue Sky at The Marina and on Letterboxd at The Marina.
On Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, and Letterboxd at The Steeple Dead. You can find my website, stevestebbing.ca. I do a show on there every week with my daughter, Chloe, called What the Hell Should I Watch? Comes out every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And I'm also on Shane Hewitt and The Night Shift. That's Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Toronto's News Talk 1010 on the iHeartRadio Network. And I'm also on Tremble, the horror podcast with Kurt and Taylor. Our latest two episodes are about The Others and Sixth Sense, the What a Twist episodes. And on the Sixth Sense episode, I say that Sixth Sense is not a horror film because I don't think it is.
Hopefully you guys also said that the Others is a stone cold classic.
Oh, I gave it a 10 out of 10, buddy.
Yeah.
Spoilers. But
stone cold classic.
It's so goddamn good. And it reminds you that Alejandro Amenábar should have had a way better career.
Agreed. Yep. 150%. 150%.
Yep. How do you make Open Your Eyes in that film and then like really not much? Like middling films like Agora and what was it? He did one with Emma Watson.
Oh yeah, which also is not great.
Yeah, it was her and Ethan Hawke. It's like just not good movies. Not good movies. And
I mean, it's not that it's not good. It's just not like it's so forgettable that we don't remember what it's called.
He should have had the Bayona career because Bayona's had bad movies, but he's had really great movies. So he should have been that director.
Until then, you can find links to everything we talked about today at atcpod.ca. And until the next time,
hack the planet.